Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a hump day. And like I said, it is the middle of the week and we'll get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon coming up. By the way, again, I know that some of y'all are listening streaming online. If your friends are wondering where the radio out of the Huntsville market went, they suffered some storm damage last night. So tell your friends, you can always get us on X, Facebook, you can stream it live on YouTube, or just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, because a bunch of y'all stream the show online every single day, and a bunch more are doing it today with the Huntsville market being down. But anyway, that being said, let me go to the topic at hand. So she's been on the show a couple times already. But Maine State Representative Laurel Libby, who represents House District 90 in the state of Maine, which is in the Auburn-Minot area, she has been basically a warrior in the trenches. She's a Club for Growth Foundation fellow, as am I, which means she's got some conservative bona fides. And I'll tell you, she has really made a fight out of being told to sit down and be quiet. The right kind of fight. And like I told you right before the top of the hour, the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday ruled in her favor. Let me quit talking and just bring on the warrior herself, Laurel Libby. Representative Libby, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Well, thank you. I know that you're making the rounds. I've seen you on several news outlets. I saw you most recently, by the way, doing a press conference with Pam Bondi and Riley Gaines. So you're kind of all over the place right now.
It's been a busy couple months, considering that I've been silenced.
Well, yeah, no kidding. I think, if nothing else, they gave you more voice without meaning to. How about that? Let me ask you this.
Sorry, Phil, cut out for a second.
That's okay. I said, I think, if nothing else, they gave you more voice without meaning to.
Oh, 100%. I think the censure was a huge strategic error on the Democrats' part, but they didn't figure that out until it was way too late.
Yeah, no doubt. So listen, this ruling from the Supreme Court of the United States, I mean, you basically had the federal district court, which I believe was out of Rhode Island because all your Maine judges recused.
And then
the First Circuit, nobody was ruling in your favor, but the Supreme Court of the United States sure did. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, we filed an emergency application with the Supreme Court. As soon as the First Circuit denied our injunction, really. And then we've been on pins and needles waiting ever since. We filed this application requesting that I get my vote back, meaning the ability to vote on behalf of my 9,000 constituents. And thankfully, that is what the Supreme Court granted yesterday. So my constituents will have their vote back in the State House when we go back in session tomorrow.
Well, that's, by the way, that's the way it should be. I mean, I think that's constitutionally grounded. But I got to ask, what does it do to your ability to speak? Because I'm not mistaken, they muzzled you. You couldn't speak or vote. Are you going to be allowed to speak on the House floor?
As far as I understand it, I will not. We specifically asked for my vote back with our request to the Supreme Court, and that is what they granted. And really, that is, of course, the most important piece for my constituents who have been disenfranchised and denied a vote for 3 months now. And so I'm thankful to have that back. And while, of course, I'd love to be able to speak to the pertinent issues of the day, that is a longer question, and we have our day in court on June 5th with the First Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay. Well, listen, I think it's significant that the Supreme Court of the United States basically backhanded the issue of you being muzzled, not being allowed to vote. I think it sends ripple effects around the nation that you can't just remove a duly elected official's right or ability to do their job. What are your constituents saying about it?
Well, I've been getting greetings from folks for 24 hours now. Everyone's thrilled, of course, within my district to have their vote back, because that's really what this is. And so I've been hearing positive encouragement for the last 24 hours, and not just from within my district, but across Maine. You know, Mainers, we've been living under a pretty tyrannical government for many years now, and to see them be told no is significant.
Well, it is significant, and like I said earlier in my show, I think it's significant not just for Maine. I think it's significant for the United States. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, though, have you spoken to Speaker Fecteau?
I have not spoken to Speaker Fecteau at this point. I don't believe, actually, since I was censured.
I just can't help it. I wish I'd been a fly on the wall when he got word about the Supreme Court reversing his ruling from the bench.
Well, he was on camera when he got the word.
Oh, was he really?
They were in session. He got word on camera and put the House at ease immediately following.
So under the rules of your procedure, what does put the House at ease mean? What does that mean?
He said the House will be at ease, and he left the chamber.
Oh, so basically he had to go take a recess and gather himself is what I'm hearing.
Well, I didn't happen to be there yesterday when that occurred, but that is what I hear.
Wow, that is incredible. Well, listen, one of the things that really struck me too was you've gotten amazing support from the Trump administration. Attorney General Pam Bondi actually filed a brief in your favor with the Supreme Court. I think it clearly indicates that the wind's at your back right now on that, at least from the federal side.
You know, I'm so thankful for the support of course, AG Pam Bondi and others. There was also a brief filed by 15 states' attorneys general and also by FIRE. So I've had tremendous support, and I'm so thankful for that. Those briefs have been filed in the First Circuit Court of Appeals, and I hope.
Oh, did we lose her?
I hope that they'll have some bearing when we have our day in court on the 5th.
Well, I hope they do, too. Laurel, what does it mean, though, for girls and dealing with guys in sports? Because right now we're still seeing that this is very much an issue in track meets and otherwise around the state of Maine. Are girls taking heart at this? Are they encouraged by it? Do you know? Are they seeing any changes? I think I saw that two school districts have sided with your position and have put their own local rules in barring transgender participation in sports. What do you hear?
Yeah, that's correct. Two school districts have taken that step to vote to uphold Title IX and stop discriminating against Maine girls, which is encouraging to see. And we are seeing girls speak up around the state. We just had public hearings on bills to remove biological males from girls' sports. And we saw girls who have been participating in sports speak up in favor of those bills. So it's encouraging to see more and more have the courage to speak up on the issue in defense of themselves, but also the next generation coming behind them.
Yeah, and isn't Attorney General Pam Bondi actually suing the state of Maine right now over the issue separately from your suit?
Correct. You know, we have so many lawsuits going right now. And that has a day in court scheduled in December. So that will be more protracted. But, you know, hopefully we see resolution that way, because really through the courts is the only way I see Maine girls getting a fair, safe, and level playing field with the current administration and majority.
Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of majority, let me ask you this in the last couple of minutes we have together. What's the balance of power in your legislature right now? For instance, in the House, what is the balance of power between Republicans and Democrats?
We have 73 Republicans, and we have 76 Democrats and two independents who, let's be real, they vote with the Democrats. But let me tell you this number, 60. 60 is the number of votes that the Democrats won the majority by across the entire state last year.
Wow. Okay, that's beyond close. That's like razor thin.
Yeah, nail biters.
So are there any that are fearful right now for their positions, and are they coming up for re-election in the near future?
Well, they should be fearful, especially folks, you know, when you win a seat by 7 or 16 votes, you should be very cautious. And the entire legislature in Maine is up for a vote next year.
Yeah, same in Alabama. In Alabama, we've got a massive election coming up. Every legislative seat and every single one of our statewide offices is open seated. So we're not going to have any incumbents in our statewide seats. It's going to be a free-for-all in Alabama. But I suspect there's going to be a whole lot of new primary challenges coming up in Maine's elections.
Well, you know, our big election is always the general. We don't tend to have too many primaries, but I would anticipate that we will see some really hard-fought races in November next year. And, you know, I'd like to see us take back some of those seats.
Well, you've been a catalyst moment, and I've told you before, and I appreciate it, the fact that what you're doing is something that I know it was been uncomfortable. At the same time, I get the sense you sort of enjoyed the being in the mix, like you don't sit still very often and stuff like this. But I am so glad you've done it, because I think what you've done is created a bellwether moment that people in other states are going to grab hold of. And so stay in the fight, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, Phil. I appreciate your support.
Absolutely. All right. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. State Representative Laurel Libby, thanks so much for what you're doing.
Thanks so much.
That listen, it's just cool. And I'm telling you, if you'd missed my monologue earlier in the show, there are times when one person does something that galvanizes a bigger picture, and it creates a basically, like I said a moment ago, a bellwether moment. That thing, that watershed time that suddenly creates momentum that wasn't there before because one person, at the very least one, was willing to say, I see a better way. Let's go over here. And that's what you're seeing right there with Laurel. I love that story. This is an amazing story. And this is one that I think we'll be talking about for a long time. All right, let's take a break there, JP. Great interview. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.